Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord this morning. Elevate, they had a special speaker last night, Angelina, and from Revive Ministries in Ohio, and it was an awesome time. We were here, and she did a great job of ministering. It should be on our website this week sometime. She released that, right, Ben? She released that? Okay. If you get a chance to go on our website, it'll be on the website probably in the middle of the week. Take a listen to that. She did a great job. Some of the things that she taught were some of the things that we've been teaching for like the last year here. And I love how God puts things together like that. That someone can come from Ohio and speak about some of the things that we're talking about. And so when that happens, then you know God is trying to say something to us. Hey, Calvary, are you listening? And so if you get a chance, take a listen to that. It's good to see everybody. This morning, we're going to talk about, the title of my message is Same God, But Different Seasons. Same God, But Different Seasons. We go through a lot of different things in life, but God does not change. He does not change. His word does not change. But we go through different seasons, and God expects different things out of us. And seasons do change. And so this morning, I want to just talk about how do we go through these different seasons? How do we go through change? How do we go through transition? How do we see the vision that God is going to give us, and how do we walk in that? If we want to go somewhere, now we all want to go somewhere, and we all sometimes want to go somewhere new, somewhere different. And even spiritually, we say, God, is there more for me? Is there more that you have for me? Is there more that you have for Calvary Gospel? You know, as the pastor, we're seeking the vision of God. And so something new is always happening. God is always doing something new. You read from Genesis. As soon as Genesis starts, there's something new happening almost every chapter. Almost every two or three verses, there's something new happening. God is always on the move. So if we want to go somewhere new or different in 2020, then we cannot stay where we are. See, we like to stay where we are because it's comfortable. We like to stay where we are because we're used to it. But here, I want you to hear this. You cannot go until you leave. Think about that. You can't go until you leave. You have to be ready to leave where you are spiritually with God, when He calls you to a new vision or to a new season. And I'm not saying you leave Calvary Gospel. I'm not saying you leave this or leave that. I'm talking, what has God put in your heart? What has God promised you through the Word? What is God doing in your life in this season? But you have to leave that. To go, you're going to have to leave. And so Abraham had to leave his family and his homeland. Right? Moses had to leave the comfort of the palace. James and John had to leave their nets and their dad to go where God's called them to go. There's a leaving. There's a letting go. What do you need to leave behind so you can go ahead in 2020? Wow. Got everybody's attention now. Like, what are you going to leave behind? You're going to have to leave something behind. Is it doubt? Is it fear? Is it pride? Is it envy? Is it jealousy? Is it insecurities? Is it anger? Is it resentment? Is it bitterness? Is it unforgiveness? Come on. What is it that you have to leave so that you can go to what God's called you to do? To just be, you know, God is helping us to reach new levels in Him spiritually. But we're going to have to leave some things to go that place. God wants to have a new way of thinking. God wants us to change our thinking. And we're going to talk about that. Our message is going to be out of Isaiah 43. And in Isaiah 43, the chapter starts off with, it's Israel in captivity. And God is going to talk to them in this chapter. And He's going to try to comfort His nation, comfort His people. And they will be going through a lot of trials. God knows the trials that they're going to go through, the things that are ahead of them as they come out of captivity. So God is preparing them. Same God, church, different season. And when you go to verse 1, that's not going to be our text, but that's where we're going to go first. When you go to verse 1, it starts off, here's the Lord, "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine." You would think that that would be enough for the nation of Israel to say, wow, I got to get my act together. I mean, this is the Lord speaking. He's given this to Isaiah. The Lord is speaking. He says, fear not. Fear not is a command of God. Why is it a command of God? We are His, he says. Wow. We are His. And then he goes to verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. I want you to listen to this. God has promised us His presence in our trials, right? That's what He says. I will be with you. I will be with you. He does not say what He will do for us, but He does tell us that He will be with us. And that should be enough. See, I was just talking to in the office before we came out, and I asked some of the guys that were in the office with me. When I grew up, when I read that verse, I will be with you, I already started to have the outcome of what my trial should look like at the end. Okay, God, you said you're with me. So when I come out of this, okay, yeah, that's cool, you're with me, but now all my mind's going, it's like, okay, when I come out of this, then I'm going to be this, I'm going to be that, and I'm going to have this, and I'm going to have that, and my life is going to change, and it's going to be wow, it's going to be awesome. God did not say that. He said, I'm going to be with you. That's got to be enough for you as a believer to receive and accept that God will be with us. He didn't say you're going to get the Cadillac or the condo or the boat or the car or that relationship or that money or that education. He didn't say that. Those things are not out of reach. And those things you can have, but when you're going through the trial, Jesus better be all that you need. That's where we get confused. We go to the outcome. Verse 3. "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt as your ransom and Cush and Seba in exchange for you. For I am the Lord thy God." This is the greatest reason for not fearing. He's the Lord your God. Same God, but you're in a different season. But His word doesn't change. Verse 4, He's preparing Israel. He's preparing His people. He's preparing His nation that He created. "Because you are precious in my eyes and honored, and I love you." Man, if Jesus said that to you, which He has through His word, wouldn't that be enough to go through your struggle? It's got to be. It's got to be enough. Just think about it. We are precious in His eyes. We are honored by Him. Why? Because of His Son, Jesus Christ. You are precious. You are honored. You are the redeemed. You are righteous. Come on, you are holy. That's what the Bible says to you. Is that not enough for you? It has to be. It has to be enough for you. So God is preparing Israel. Hey, I'm telling you all about the things about who I am. And He says, I'm going to be with you. But church, we have to be very careful that we don't make our own outcome after the flood, after the waters, after the fire. We need to come to a place where Jesus, all I need is for you to be with me. And you said you would. Let's go to our scriptures. We're going to read. Let's go to verse 15 through 21. This is going to be our main scripture. But I just wanted to bring that to you that God is preparing. He's preparing his nation. God's preparing you. God's preparing Calvary. Okay? God's preparing us. Verse 15, he says, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. He's talking about the Pharaoh and his army coming after Israel and that the Red Sea. That's what he's talking about. And then he says, remember not the former things. That's kind of confusing, isn't it, Oleg? Hey, I'm going to tell you everything, but remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people. And I like this last verse. The people from whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praises. God has formed Israel. God has formed this nation. God has formed you. God has created you that we might declare his praises. So God will bring his chosen people out of Babylon just as he brought them out of Egypt, he's telling them. But there is a surprise, he says. You remember the Exodus? That's what he talks about. You remember the Exodus? You remember all that happened? And now he says, forget it. Now forget it. Not because the old deliverance was invalid, but because it was about to be surpassed. Church, I want you to hear something. I want you to see what God is saying. It's like, hey, you remember that? He even says, hey, remember how I extinguished Egypt and Pharaoh and his army? Forget that. Forget that. There's something greater and bigger that's going to happen for you. God doesn't rest on past experiences with us. We shouldn't rest in those past experiences. God is always doing a new thing. He says it. We have to understand that, because when you understand that, you can walk through the seasons that God has and we can move together, unified, and getting ready for what God has. God is doing a new thing and sometimes surpasses what God has done before. You got to catch that. Because sometimes, I know I grew up and I'm saying, Lord, you did it this way and it was a miracle. Thank you, Jesus. And now we have a struggle and we're going through something and you're going back to God saying, well, you did it that way before. He's probably not going to do it the same way. Just going to give you a heads up. So kind of stop even praying that way. God, I remember that miracle. You know, you did it this way. And Lord, I'm just waiting for you to do that again. And he's just saying, well, it probably won't happen again the same way. He never does it the same way. And we're gonna see that. I like what Proverbs says, 29:18. It's a verse that we all know. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint or perish, but blessed is he who keeps the law. That word vision, where there is no prophetic divine communication, that's what that word means. So that means where there is no divine communication between us and God, if we don't have this communication, if we're not talking to God on a daily basis, we're not asking God, hey, God, you know, what's the vision? Show me the path. Show me the light. Light up my path. Show me what I need to do. If you don't have divine communication, you don't have a vision. You don't have a vision. God could give you that, but if you're not communicating with him, you're not going to do it. And then it says, but blessed is he who keeps the law. That word is direction and instruction. When you keep the direction and instruction, when you keep your direction that God has given you, where to go and when to go and how to move, that is what he's talking about. That will never perish. That will be the awesome thing that we as a church and you as an individual have to grab a hold of. And so to do that, Verse 18 says, remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Our first point is we have to change your focus. Because if you're going to focus on the past, you're going to miss it. Because God is doing a new thing. He's the same God, but you're in a different season. You're in a different season. Direction, not intention, determines your destination. Think about that. Direction. If I want to go to New York City, I probably won't go via Buffalo. You could be all packed. You could be all ready. You could be all ready to go. My intention is to get to New York City, but I'm traveling west, and I'm seeing signs of 42, 43, the exit signs, getting closer to Buffalo. Yes, all your intentions are right. The car is packed. The kids are in the car, and you're going the wrong way. Direction is not what your intentions are. Direction is not intention. It determines your destination. Where are you going? We always end up where the road we are on is taking us, regardless of our intentions. We can have great intentions. I'm going to read my Bible every day. I'm going to pray every day. Lord, you know, you gave me this great vision, and this is where you would like to see me go, and da 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 da. And Lord, I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I'm with you. I got great intentions. But what road are you on? Where are you going? God says, change your focus. It is of no benefit to live your life in the broken pieces of yesterday. God says, let it go. Leave, I want you to catch this, leave the past at the cross. Leave your past at the cross. In fact, don't leave your past hanging there. Leave your past at the cross because Jesus took it. We have to stop focusing on these three things. There's many things, but I'm going to give you three things that we need to stop focusing on. First one is past sins. Man, you can become captive to your past sins. Now, I'm not talking past sins of 20 years ago. I'm not talking past sins of 10 years ago. I'm talking, it could be yesterday. It could be a year ago. It could be whatever. If we start going back to our past sins, then we don't believe that Jesus forgave us. We have to change our focus. You're never going to go forward. You have good intentions. Well, my intentions are I'm going to bring up my past and I'm going to wail in my past and I'm going to throw myself on the floor and say, God, I repent. No, you've repented for that. Jesus isn't back there. Jesus is forward. He's doing a new thing. He's doing a new thing. Past sins, you've got to let them go. God has dealt with sin through his son, Jesus Christ. Have you come to a place of repentance? He's done with sin, right? He either sent Jesus to the cross, or Jesus, he went voluntarily, actually. Either he went to the cross, took your sins, or he didn't. But the key is, you need to repent. You need to receive that. And once you receive that, and when you come to a place of repentance, then you move forward and say, thank you, Lord. We just took communion. Man, that's what it's all about. If you're going to wail in your past sins, then you don't understand that. You got to be careful. Isaiah 43, 25 says, I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Now let's go to the New Testament. 2 Corinthians 5, 21. For your sake, he made him to be sin, Jesus, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God in him. Now, I'm not saying, don't mix my words up, saying, oh, Pastor Tom says it's okay to sin. No. Let me repeat that. No. It's like Jesus says, Martha, Martha, Peter, Peter. No. No. I did not say that. Jesus took it. Repent, which means turn away from your sin and follow Jesus. We can't get into that constantly. Because the only person who's bringing up your past sins is the devil. Or else Jesus at communion at the cross meant nothing. Okay? It's quiet in here, guys. It's awful quiet. I speak on sin and all of a sudden it gets quiet. Past sufferings. This is something we have to get past. We all have been hurt. We all have hurts. I like what Paul says. Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Come on, church. Get over the suffering. If you want to move and do and have a new, what God wants to give us, a new thing, a new focus, same God, different season, he's saying, come on, we got to get past the suffering. We got to get past the offenses that people, you know, he didn't like me, he didn't say hi to me, he didn't pat me on back, he didn't encourage me, he didn't open the door for me, you know, whatever it may be. And some of you have legitimate, I have had legitimate times in my life where I could have said, man, I'm right, you hurt me. You hurt me big time. I got to get past that. It does me no good. I'm in bondage. I'm just trying to free us today at Calvary. God is. Not me. God is. We have to get past that. Even the son, even in Luke 9:22, it says the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed, but on the third day he's going to rise. Come on, things are going to happen, church. But on the third day, you're going to rise. On the third day, you're going to rise. We need to get past some of our things that have happened to us. Refocus. Change your focus. And then the third one is past successes. This is a hard one. You know, because you say, well, I mean, I have to forget all the great successes that happened in my life. It's easy to get lost in your past. Right? Come on, I want you to think. It's easy to get lost in your past. How many of us, sometimes, I'll be the first one, we live every day in our past sometimes. God's saying. And it could be past successes. But man, that was awesome. Yeah, it was awesome because that was a miracle of God. And now God is moving on. And this is why. It's easy to get lost in the past, to have one's faith centered in the long ago instead of in the right now. Think about that. Wow. You know, we could just revel in the long ago. This church could revel in the long ago. I mean, this, you know, everyone that came and all the great things that happened. But guess what? Same God, but we're in a new season. We have to get ready for it. And then also assume that the Lord's solution for today's problem will look like the Lord's solution for yesterday's problem. That's a problem. That's a problem. If we're going to say, Lord, you did it that way last week, so I'm waiting for you to do it this way this week. That's past successes. They're going to change. I thank God. My God does not change. The mission never changes, but the method will change. Your miracle will be different. He's going to create a miracle, but it's not going to be the way you think it is. Because if you're going to fleshly, in your own human mind, finite mind, say, this is the outcome I'm looking for, then you don't need Jesus. Go work on the outcome. Go change yourself. Go do what you think you have to do. But if you want Jesus to do a new thing in your life, and he says that I've given you a new vision, I've given you a new course, I've given you a new direction, then let him give you the outcome. Past successes, we have to let go. Sometimes we think that the Lord must always follow the same model to his people. Wow, you did it before. You got to do it again the same way. It's not going to happen. And here's the second thing. Same God, different season. Conceive your new future. This is conceive your new future. See, God is always doing a new thing. All through the scripture, you can read it. God is doing a new thing. And when God does a new thing and you see it become a success or a miracle in the Bible, the reason why is because that person or that nation or that group of people conceived it. They perceived it and they received it. You look at God called Noah to build an ark. If he didn't conceive it, he would have never built it. God called Joshua to walk around a fortified city. If he didn't conceive it, if he didn't perceive it and then conceive it, he never would have done it. Elijah tells Naaman to dunk himself in the Jordan 7 times and you will be clean. Why 7 times? Because that's what he said. Jesus walks on the water. Jesus took mud and healed a blind man's eye. Jesus took a little boy's lunch and he feeds 5,000. See, Jesus conceived it because Jesus only could do what he saw his father do. That's what the Bible says. So Jesus sees what his father's doing and he conceives it. He takes it in and he says, okay. In Psalms, it says the singing new song. There's a song in your heart that God's given you. And you can sing the same song all the time if you like. There's nothing wrong with that. But the Bible says, sing a new song. What's Jesus doing new in your life? Sing it. Praise it. Talk to him about it. Exalt him. Lift him up. Do a new thing. Do a new song. And all through the scripture, especially the Psalms. And then Jesus says, I've established a new covenant. And he says the old is obsolete. He's doing a new thing. This was a new thing, communion. It's a new thing. There's no more goats. There's no more bulls. There's no more calves. There's no more doves. Jesus, he's doing a new thing. But none of them would have done it unless they conceived it, unless they took it in and said, we're going with this. In verse 19, it says, behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Do you not perceive it? And that word perceive, or that word behold, he says, behold, that word means to produce. God is about to produce something. Behold, God is going to produce something. We need to wake up, we need to be alert, and we need to be ready, because when God says, behold, that means I'm going to produce, I'm going to formulate something, I'm going to fashion something for you. And then he says a new thing. And that new thing refers to things which you've never had planned or heard. See, we read this so quickly. Think of, if he says he's doing a new thing, that means you have not seen it yet. If he's doing a new thing, you don't know the plan for it yet. It's unprecedented. It's unparalleled. Simply to say, it will be the first of its kind. So I never think of it like that. I've spoke on this message. I've heard people preach on this message. But I never looked at it. When Jesus said, it's a new thing, my mind is still focused on the old stuff. God wants to change our focus. This is what this message is about. He's getting Calvary Gospel and each individual ready for what he has for this church. But it's going to be a new thing, or else he wouldn't use the word new thing. And it means just that. New things refers to such things which would have never been done in history. Think about that. I never thought about it that way. If he's going to do a new thing, it's not the same thing. So then how can you plan this out? You don't plan it out. You walk every day and say, Lord, what do you have for me today? Let me hear your voice. We know your voice. Sheep know your voice. We know you're the good shepherd. So my plan isn't, oh, I see the speaker over there. I don't even see that speaker over there. Because God says, if I show you that, you're going to say, how am I going to get there? Oh, that could never happen. I don't have the money. I don't have the education. I don't have the means. I don't have the networking. I don't have people. That's why God doesn't show. God could never show you what's going to happen next year. You would fall flat on your face. Because he's preparing you. See, we've never been taught that way. I haven't anyways. That he's preparing me. That every day is preparation. Why? Because he wants us to connect divinely with him. If he shows me that and says, that's how you're going, I don't need Jesus anymore. okay, I know, I'm going. Thanks, Jesus. I'll see you next year when I need something else. A new thing. I want you to understand that. What he's going to do in Calvary Gospel in this season, because we're all going through seasons, and in you and as an individual, it has never been done before. It's a new thing. So get ready. And then he says, now. God is always at work. Now, now, before you even see it. Now, now, before you see it. It shall spring forth. And that word means to grow abundantly. Shall you not know it? To perceive and see the same word. Shall you not know it? That word, know it, is the same word in Scripture that says, Adam knew his wife, Eve, and she conceived Cain. Think about that. I want it to sink in. Do you not know it? That means it's the relations that a man and woman have had to conceive a child. And that brings us to a place we have to conceive it before we're ever going to see it. Can you conceive it? Can you bring it into your heart and say, God, impregnate me with your vision that you have for me? Because that's what that word know means. Do you know it? You have to conceive it. We don't want the process. We only want the promise. Now we know when a woman carries, a mom carries this baby, they want that baby out. They want that baby out. 9 months is too long to be carrying a child. But there's a process that has to happen. Spiritually, it's the same thing. It starts with the seed. God says, let me plant a new thing, a new seed in you. Because where I'm taking you, where this church is going, it will be a new thing. And don't you see it? And what he's saying is, don't you know it? And what he's saying is, will you conceive it? Will you allow me to plant the seed in you as a church, as individuals, and come together to see what God has? It's letting him plant it. It's a natural conception. It's carrying the seed. It's likened to a spiritual conception. God, will we allow God to impregnate us with his vision? Because if we won't allow God to give us that vision and we won't conceive it, there's no sense having church. Because I'm not good enough to carry this church. I'm not good enough to carry this church. It's not about me and Sister Debbie. It's not about Elevate. It's not about Kids Connect. It's about Jesus. And we all have to catch his vision and say, Lord, give me the seed. Give me the vision. Give me what you've called this church to do. It's the same God. You're the same God. But there's a new season. And God, you want to do a new thing. It's something that's never happened before, or else it wouldn't be new. I want to encourage us. I'm excited about this message because guess what? I don't have a lot of work to do in this message. And you don't have a lot of work to do in this message. Allow God to plant the seed in us as a church and let him cultivate the seed. Let him plant it. Let him water it. Let him put the sunshine on it. Let him clean out the weeds, the rocks. Let him fertilize it. It's Jesus. I'm not fertilizing his seed. You're not fertilizing his seed. He is. Our job is to let him give us the seed, and our job is to refocus, not look at the past successes, not look at our past failures, not look at our past sufferings. Well, we know when we did that before, so-and-so got upset. And da-da-da. Come on, get over it. Because guess what? Jesus is over it. He's done with it. He says, I'm giving you a new thing. Don't abort the promise as you come near your due date. As this church comes near the due date of what God has for us, don't abort it. If Jesus had to go to the Garden of Gethsemane to get strength to endure, what about you and I? Come on, what about you and I? If we're going to be like Jesus, he had to go, he cried, he was sweating blood. Pray and pray and pray and pray some more. God will stay with you through the process. That's His promise. We don't know how it's going to end up. Thank God, because we would have 100 different outcomes, right? Everyone's going to think, well, Pastor Tom, I think we should go here, do this, da-da-da-da. You know, that's great. Okay. We'd have 100 different outcomes. Jesus said, I've got the outcome. Let me plant the seed. Let me water it. Let me fertilize it. Let me put some rain on it. Let me put some sunshine on it. Let me pull some weeds. Oh, that's going to hurt, church, when He starts pulling weeds from us. And we start digging up some rocks, it's going to hurt. And you say, Pastor, you never said it was going to hurt. No, I didn't say it wasn't going to hurt. Because I'm not stupid to say that. It's going to hurt. It's going to stretch. But it's going to be glorious, like Paul said. Isaiah 40, 29, 31. Hey, are you getting this? Come on. Are you getting ready for what God has for you? Not just as a church, but He's doing this individually in your lives. What are you going through? What are you going through? Relationships? Bad relationships? Good relationships? Money? Finances? School? Marriages? Children? Health? Boss? Come on. What are you going through? Let Him plant the seed. Isaiah 40, 29, 31. He gives power to the faint. And to him who has no might, He increases strength. Oh, I love that. Even youth shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they will wait for the Lord, and the Lord shall renew their strength. He's going to renew our strength here at Calvary. He's getting us ready not to fail. God never prepares you to fail. He prepares you, listen, He prepares you to glorify God. That might be a lot of work, but He prepares us to glorify Jesus. And He will. They shall mount up as wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. There's a process. Let's walk through the process. We're almost done. I'm going to give you 2 points and we're done. Listen, if you can bring the next one up. I want you to read this because there's a lot in there. I'm going to go slow. This is very important. If you attempt to restrict and regulate God's performance in your present or your future, according to God's past performance, you forfeit your future. What do I mean by that? If you're waiting for Jesus to do it the same way as He did before, you're going to miss your future. A long statement, very simple. If you attempt to restrict God, hey, God, you didn't do it like that before. If you tend to regulate God, hey, God, I only got about 2 more days left, and you better do something. If you do that, in your present right now, or according to your future, you will forfeit your future. Or else God would have never said, I'm doing a new thing. Don't forfeit your future. Don't restrict God. Don't put Him in a box and say you did it like this before and you have to do it that way again. You're going to forfeit your future. And I don't mean that God's not going to be with you. He's always going to be with you. But the vision that He gave you won't come into birth. It won't come into birth until you conceive it and allow Him to go through the process with you. Very important. Very important. We have to conceive it. We can birth something. We can't birth anything if it's not conceived. We have to conceive it before we can see it. You have to conceive that child, the seed of a man and a woman. I love when He uses that word. Adam knew Eve. She conceived. Do you not know? Will you allow me to conceive? Will you allow me to give you the vision? And here's the 2 points, and we're finished. What do you need to leave in order to go in 2020 as an individual? What do you need to leave? You can only answer that question. What have you been unwilling or unable to let go of that is hindering you from becoming who God wants you to be? That's the question. You can only answer that because it's personal. If you're writing it down, I'm going to give you time to leave that up. And the second question I ask, God asks, are you able to put both those on the screen, Max, or no? That's fine if you can't. Second one is, what do you need to conceive in order to birth God's promise? What is God saying to you as an individual? Hey, I'm going to give you a seed. I know what you need. I'm going to give you that seed. Will you conceive it? Will you take it in? Will you take it in? Because you want to birth something. We all want to birth something. We all do. Man, if I could tell you my history, my way, how I viewed God, that's why I'm so passionate when I'm up here teaching, and why I'm so passionate when I'm with you talking. You know, I probably talk too much. But I wasn't always here in this mindset. And it set me back many years. It didn't set God back. It never sets God back. That's why I'm so passionate about this, because when you start receiving this and understanding it, what do you need to leave in order to go? Talking about personally in your life, what do you need to drop off? Anxiety, fear, unforgiveness, anger, pride? Or it could just be, I don't actually talk to Jesus that much because I don't find it important. That's okay. I found that same thing a long time ago. I didn't feel as important. My life didn't go very far until I found that it was important just to talk to Jesus. And what do you need to conceive in order to birth God's promise? That's the key to this message. As we go into 2020, as you go as an individual, God's doing individual things. God said, preach this, teach this message, because there's individual things that people are going through. Every one of us, I don't care how young or old you are, you're going through something that God wants you to refocus. He's doing a new thing. And then he's bringing it to the church. And he's saying, as a church, I've got something great for this church. It's a new season. I'm the same God. And when he starts revealing that to us, then we're going to keep on talking about it. We're going to keep on letting him water it, letting him pull up the weeds, pull up the rocks, fertilize it, rain on it, sunshine on it, and we're going to be where God has called us to be as a church. I'm excited. I'm excited because the only work I have to do is, Lord, you can plant the seed. Now, will we as a church also, as a unit, say, Lord, plant the seed at Calvary. It's time. What do you have for us? What do you have for us? I don't know what that looks like yet, church. I'm being honest with you. But I know he's after the lost souls of the world. And we're going to go after them. We're going to go after the lost souls. And we're going to do what God's called us to do. And we're going to be more intentional. I will say this to us as a church. We are going to be more intentional going after the lost. We're not going to do this like, oh, if someone comes into Calvary, hopefully they get saved. You know, because we can have that attitude as a church. Especially when the church is growing and everything's good. I mean, I brag about Calvary all the time. Actually, I'm bragging on God, because God's done it. But you can get complacent and say, this is good. Look at all the people. Look at all the kids. Like Pastor Tom says, wow, you got to be up here and watch all those kids leap. It's still not good enough. It's not good enough. What are you doing, Jesus? And we need to follow. Hallelujah. Let's stand. close in prayer. God, you're an awesome God. Lord, thank you for your word. Hallelujah. God, you're doing a new thing. Refocus, refocus, refocus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We need to refocus on you. We need to forget the past. We need to move forward. Those were great things that brought Calvary here, and now you're doing something to bring Calvary someplace else and another vision or whatever it may be to do different things, and we just want to be open to you. Lord, I say plant the seed in Calvary, and I say I give you permission in my life to plant the seed in my life that needs to be planted. Lord, where you want to take me as an individual, but Lord, we want to come collectively and say, Lord, plant the seed at Calvary. We will let you water it. We will let you put sunshine on it. We will let you to fertilize it. We will let you pull the weeds. We will let you pull the rocks. We will wait for the process, and we will give birth to what we have conceived through you. That is our vision. And Lord, we love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Come on, let's just thank God. Come on, let's just thank him. Let's just thank him. Lord, we thank you, Father, that you love us so much, that you have not given up on Calvary. You have not given up on this church. You have not given up on any individual here. You still have a plan. It's a new thing. We need to refocus. But God, you want to start planting new seeds in every one of us. You know the struggle that each one is going through. Each one is going through something different. But Lord, if we allow us to conceive it, if we can conceive it, if we can allow you to plant it, and we can allow ourselves to go through the process, we will birth exactly what you have created. And that's what I say. Lord, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Come downstairs and fellowship. Greet someone you haven't seen before. And we love you. Have a great day.